Hello and welcome back to Istros Conversations, where today we have with us the translator from Albanian, John Hodgson. Welcome, John.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I'm going to start from the very beginning, as it were, and ask you of the story of how you ended up knowing the Albanian language.
Well, it is a bit of a niche activity, translating Albanian.
Indeed.
What happened was that many years ago, in 1980, I was a kind of wandering English teacher, and I was applying for jobs at the British Council.
Uh-huh.
And I was actually Russia mad at the time, and I wanted to go to the Soviet Union. But they said, well, we're full up there. Will you go to Yugoslavia? So I said, certainly. And I went to Pristina, and which to me was a totally unknown place.
I was going to say, did you know, had you heard of the place, town before? No.
I looked up my old school atlas to see where it was, and they gave me a train ticket. A train ticket.
Excellent.
And I arrived.
Excellent. And, of course, Pristina is now the capital of Kosovo, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, it was a town in former Yugoslavia. And so people were speaking Serbo-Croatian, as it was then called, and Albanian, but mostly Albanian, right?
The population at that time was about 75% Albanian, 20% Serbian, but it was very, very mixed indeed. There were all kinds of languages.
Ah.
It was an extraordinary multi-ethnic environment.
Oh, how wonderful. Mm. So how did you choose which one to start to learn, as it were?
Well, Albanian was the majority language, and the university where I was teaching, the great majority of my students were Albanian, but also it struck me as being obscure and interesting.
Which indeed it is.
And people were very, very encouraging.
Yes.
It's not like in England, where you arrive from wherever and you're more or less expected to speak English at that time. You only had to open your mouth and say Mirdita in Albanian, and people would think this was absolutely wonderful.
Oh.
So people were very encouraging.
Ah, so of course that's a great bonus for the language learner, right? And so how long were you there in Pristina?
4.5 years.
Right. And you said that translating from Albanian is a niche activity. So how many translators are there from Albanian to English working in the field of literature?
Well, people of translators with English as their mother tongue, there are really only two of us.
Yes.
There's Robert Elsie and myself.
That's exactly I thought, but I wanted to hear you say it.
I may be doing somebody an injustice.
Yes.
But I think there may have been other people who've done the odd book, but basically there were two of us.
It's yourself and Robert Elsie. And we're going to have you both together at the Balkan Day on 24th of June this year, which is rather wonderful, talking about Albanian literature. But let's go back to your story. So after, a bit later on, you ended up at the International Criminal Tribunal, where you were an interpreter for Albanian. And you still do interpreting, I believe, along with your literary translation. Can you talk a little bit about the differences between interpreting and literary translation?
Well, certainly the difference between interpreting for somewhere like the tribunal, which is a legal institution, in legal interpretation, what is important is absolute accuracy. And, of course, literary translations also have to be accurate, but they have to be beautiful as well. So it's a slightly different approach.
Do you feel a little bit more, I suppose when you're interpreting, you're a little bit more like a machine, right? Just a kind of somebody who's doing a service, taking from one language to another. Whereas in literary translation, do you feel you can allow your creativity to come through? Is it more satisfying in that way?
I think in interpreting, you can't be a machine, because you're often interpreting in a very sensitive situation.
Mm.
So you have to be sensitive and responsive, but you certainly can't interfere. So it's a slightly special relationship, but I would say it's more like the relationship of a doctor and a patient than a machine or...
That's very interesting. I was going to say that. So you have this kind of professional reserve, which, of course, nurses and doctors have in order not to let themselves get too much involved.
That's right.
And, of course, at a criminal tribunal like the one in The Hague, obviously it's very sensitive and upsetting things that you have to interpret. Right. So you have to be sensitive, but yet keep yourself a distance.
That's right. Yes. There's a balance, I think, between those two things.
Yes, yes. And how about literary translation? Do you find it fulfilling?
Yes, yes, I do. I enjoy it enormously.
Mm.
It's a great challenge to interpret one culture into another and to convey as much as you can without distortion and without awkwardness.
Oh, yes, indeed. So that's one interesting thing, because you learnt your Albanian in Kosovo.
Yes.
And yet... most of the translating you're doing is from Albania, from Albanian from Albania. Is there a big difference?
There's a big difference in the spoken language, and there are different kinds of Albanian spoken in Kosovo and throughout the Republic of Albania itself. There's a great variety of dialects in Albanian, and this makes the language very, very interesting.
Yeah, indeed.
But the literary language is a single established medium.
Oh, I see. So it's the same. Well, as far as literature is concerned, it's the same. Right, I see. And so in about 2005, you've told me, you came back from The Hague and you... then started translating the works of Ismail Kadare, who's, yes.
Yes.
And you've worked on, how many books have you worked on of
I've
his?
Now done 5 by Ismail Kadare, and I've worked on his novels, and also, of course, on Fatos Lobonia, whom you have published.
That's right, yes, I was going to come on to him. So Fatos Lobonia is an Albanian writer, but, of course, doesn't enjoy the same reputation as Kadare in the English-speaking world. Can you perhaps then tell our listeners a little bit about Lobonia as a man and as a writer?
Well, Fatos is an exceptionally distinguished figure in Albanian life and commands an enormous, particularly moral, authority. He was in prison under... communism for 17 years. And he's described this time in some wonderful prison stories and also in a memoir, Second Sentence, which is about his rearrest. He was arrested again actually while he was in prison,
yes,
and charged with conspiracy with a group of other prisoners. Totally bizarre and
fabricated,
a beyond Kafka kind of...
And this was published by I.B. Taurus, wasn't it?
That's right,
when was that published?
I think that was about 2008 or 2009.
Right, yeah. And, of course, a great travesty of justice. And Fatos was then released during the fall of the regime.
That's right, in 1991.
Yes.
And he lost no time. He established... a quarterly magazine for independent critical thought called Papirkia, which means endeavour, and he has edited that ever since. And he has been also a political commentator, he's a television pundit, a journalist, and a general voice in Albanian life.
Yes, an intellectual giant in Albania, indeed. Perhaps we can talk a little bit about the book that you did for Istros, which was called False Apocalypse. In fact, it had a different title, didn't it, in the original? It was
in the False Apocalypse is a subtitle of the original. The main title is just 97.
Yes, of course, which we didn't do it that way around in English because we didn't think that people would understand the significance of 1997. Tell us what the significance is in Albania.
Well, 1997 was a year of breakdown of order in Albania following the collapse of pyramid financial schemes. That after the fall of communism, you had shock therapy and neoliberalism installed in Albania, and you had extreme versions of market economics. Of course, Albania often goes to extremes. It went to extremes of Marxist-Leninism, and then it went to an extreme of capitalism.
From one extreme to the other, yes.
There were also a lot of Ponzi schemes, financial pyramids, in which hundreds and thousands of people lost their savings.
It was a kind of get rich quick, you know, get all of the bonuses of capitalism all at once, as it were.
And these have caused havoc, I believe, also in Romania and the former Soviet Union.
That's right. That's right.
Albania, in particular.
And the book kind of charts what happened in Albania during that year.
That's right.
With these people suddenly realizing that they're not going to get their money back, so rioting in the streets, and how that kind of all went beyond control. And of course, 1997, in the context just after the end of the war in Yugoslavia, so people had had a taste of conflict in Europe, and so I suppose the rest of the world looking on very worriedly.
Yes, and there was also a democratic deficit.
Yes,
that the idealism of the first years following the fall of communism had evaporated very quickly, and Fatos is very critical of the government of the time and how it dealt with the situation, and indeed almost encouraged it in his view.
Yes. Yes, I mean, the book is very interesting from that historical point of view. It's also interesting the way he structures it. It's partly... So he has he creates a fictional self, doesn't he?
Mm.
And through which he writes diary entries. So you get very personal view, and then you get the wider political view
right.
of what's happening.
Yes.
What kind of writer is Fatos to translate? How do you find his prose when you're translating?
Well, his prose is very lucid. And it is, I wouldn't say it's plain, because it's often lapidary. He will find the right word, the right phrase. But it's not stylistically indulgent. I would say it's very fit for the purpose, rather like Orwell.
Very good analogy indeed. And tell us a bit more about these prison stories, because these are things that you've translated from time to time over the years of Fatos's
right.
prison stories. What are they like? Because that's a very different kind of prose for him.
Fatos has been writing these stories for many years. He's still got a couple to write, I think.
Yes, we're waiting for that, aren't we? Before we bring out the collection, we're waiting for those final stories.
I've been translating them more or less as they have been written. But each one concentrates on a certain fellow inmate in one of the prisons. So they're all have the name of the chief character. And they're really psychological studies of how people survive in these extreme circumstances. They're studies of survival, and people's survival instincts often lead them into quite strange behaviour. So some people become extreme rebels, some people become extreme conformists. But they are psychologically very deep studies of the human instinct of survival, and I find very moving.
Yes, and I think that, you know, in the kind of genre of communist regime literature, they would be very important to have in the English language.
I think they're very important. They have a particular... They're very moving, but they are without pathos. They are very cool. They have a certain kind of detachment which enables the story to speak for itself. So he's very skilled at presenting this appalling material in a way that doesn't wear the reader down.
Yes.
It gives the reader the chance to enter into it and assess this reality for himself without any
kind of emotional blackmail.
You don't
feel that
you're being having your emotions manipulated by the author.
Yes. Oh, that's very interesting. We greatly look forward to them. Mm. Just as a final question, what do you feel about the literary scene in Albania today? Is it? I mean, I know I was recently at the Istanbul Book Fair, and there were three Albanian publishing houses there. And it seemed very dynamic to me. Is that your impression?
Yes, it is a very dynamic literary scene. There's a lot of publishing going on. When you go there, people complain that people don't read the way they used to. But of course, literary culture is very difficult, very different from the way it was under communism, and people read in different ways. I would say it's a very vigorous literary culture for a very small country.
A very small country with lots of stories to tell, though.
Exactly.
Indeed, a very interesting, rich history. Well, thank you very much for talking
to us
today, and we look forward to seeing you at Balkan Day.
Thank you very much.